You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Tina Amini.
Hello, everybody.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And we have a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about some recent games that we've been playing. Watch Dogs Legion, Spider-Man, Miles Morales. But first, this is the final episode of this console generation. The next time we meet... We will be in a new console generation. To that end, we've got an email from Alexander who says it is time to pick the game of the generation. Now, I don't think we're going to pick it within the next hour, but let's get that conversation started. Alexander says, we've reached the end of a generation. Today's show marks the final GameScoop of the current generation of gaming. I keep a running list of all the games I complete with my personal rating. I'm primarily an Xbox gamer, and I've completed around 75 games this generation. Some of my favorite games on the Xbox One include Sunset Overdrive, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Hellblade, Doom and Doom Eternal, Shadow of Mordor and War, Gears 5, and Quantum Break and Control. I also enjoyed several smaller titles like Axiom Verge, Child of Light, Cuphead, Guacamelee, Hollow Knight, Hyperlight Drifter, Ori and the Blind Forest, and Will of the Wisps. My question for the Omega Cops is, what are some of your favorite games or series from this generation? I'm happy to say I made it through an entire console generation listening to this show, and I'm looking forward to some next-gen episodes of GameScoop. Thanks so much for taking the time to read this. Alex from Connecticut.
So what are the rules of the generation, Damon?
Games that were released this generation, and I do think we need to include the Switch in there.
Mm-hmm. But what
it's
about
more of
like,
this generation than Wii U, right?
Yeah, but I thought, like, is there anything that was only released on Wii U that you know?
Just that, you know. Wind Waker remake is pretty great.
That is pretty great.
You got NES Remix. I guess it came out on 3DS. What about GTA 5?
I think that's a last gen game.
Yeah. It's also a next gen game.
Yeah, it's
crazy. It's a next gen game.
Yeah, totally. The last generation, the generation we're about to talk about, skipped Elder Scrolls and GTA, and those are still the biggest games.
Yeah, that's really funny. And of course, we have to acknowledge there's still some really big games of this generation still forthcoming: Cyberpunk, Assassin's Creed, Valhalla, even the
4 years of Switch games.
Yeah, exactly. We're just talking about, you know, games that are already out at this point. Just a few days before the switch over to the next generation. And I thought it'd be easier to separate them by genres, just like IGN does with its best of awards. So if we started with action games, mm-hmm. action game of the generation, for my money, I think the best action games I played were all 2D games this generation. And that comes with the caveat that I'm not really like a Platinum Games guy or a Devil May Cry guy. But the games, and a lot of these games are the current trend of like indie roguelike games. So like Dead Cells, Spelunky 2, Rogue Legacy, Hades. I think those are like some of the best action games I played this generation.
Would you count Red Dead 2 as an action game?
Mm-hmm. I think we'd put that in action adventure.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to adjust my list here.
The action adventure is the biggest category, I think.
Yeah, that's such a good catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about The Last of Us 2?
Action adventure.
Or rather, The Last of Us originally. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. I think does that mean those, God of War is also action adventure?
Yep. And Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. And then I think there's an adventure category that folks does that, you know, is just adventuring. So maybe The Witness or Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, that's a good one. Right? That's a good adventure game. Again, like we can probably roll past because you said all of the good retro style action games. And I was looking up like our ratings of action games, and my list here is everything is like, you know, an open world adventure game that has action elements to it. If you go down your list of games that has that stuff, though, there's one I'd add, and that's I'm sure there's more than this, but anything on Switch, I think dominated action. So Mario Odyssey, like, is a clear action platformer, just completely best of its class. And then I think this is an action RPG, but the Link's Awakening on Switch was incredible too. I really like that.
Three I have those on my list too, but I sort of shoved them in the action adventure category.
And like Zelda's kind of an RPG a little bit.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch action that RPG. Have like those crossover. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sam, would you consider Odyssey, Super Mario Odyssey, a straight action game? Because I feel like there's so much exploration to it.
Yeah, that has more exploration. Like it's more exploration than other games. But like I feel like Mario is like, if you draw back to the roots of Mario, like that's the original style of action game, right? Because it's that's about true. Acrobatics that's and about movement and platforming is like almost like an industry term we would use that specifies a type of action game.
Yeah.
Want to give a shout out to Yakuza 0, which is a game that is somehow sillier and like more emotionally resonant at the same time than I expected. Like, the main storyline is this crazy mafia melodrama, but then everything that surrounds it couldn't possibly be more cartoonish and funny. And just, I've never taken like more screenshots and pictures of a game than that game because of the insanity that surrounds it. And that one's like a dark horse candidate for me because as I was playing it, I'm not like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is game of the generation worthy. But like, it's really stuck with me. Like, I come back to that game a lot and think about that game a lot, and it like really looms large in my head. And it's just incredible seeing that franchise grow over the years. And Damon, I think you would really, really love them. You haven't got into the Yakuza games yet, have you?
No, but not for any reason. I think you're right. I think I probably would like them.
You got Zero's the place to start. It's also one of the very, very few franchises that ever like the prequel is the right place to start. Like, it doesn't ruin or like spoil the original game. So it's like, play the prequel. It's awesome. You can get it for like $10 now.
Yeah, I got to get on that. Sticking with action, I think Celeste would be included in there because that one is just pure platforming.
Yeah, I think Yoku's Island Express is a good example of a good 2D fun action game.
Well, but again, the Metroidvania nature of that, the Metroidvania nature of that may make that more of an action adventure game.
Yeah.
But there is Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Both really good, 8-bit style, linear Castlevania games.
The Bloodstained didn't end up too bad either. It's just that we deserve Castlevanias.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think I would include Tina, Katana Zero.
Oh, that's right. I have that under action adventure.
So well, I just think we all like a little adventure with our actions.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with that too.
They've molded together quite a bit over the generation, so it's perfectly topical point for this topic.
It's weird that there were no big arcadey games that our staff like all got into or we all played together over the past 7 years. Like there's a Pac-Man era, we were all playing that together, and Geometry Wars before that. Those Pac-Man CE games are like really popular and very arcadey action games, but there hasn't been anything like that that's really taken us by storm.
I guess there's Smash Brothers, but that's probably, you know, fighting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Damon,
you glossed over it right at the start that, you know, this panel doesn't happen to be big fans of Platinum, you know, Climax action style games, but like everyone loved Devil May Cry 5 and like really a culmination of all the just experience and expertise there really came together with that one that maybe not isn't necessarily our taste, but like I think IGN, our score was crazy high for that game. So
in the nines, yeah.
Yeah, glad to see that the genre is alive and well. And hopefully we still have Bayonetta 3 to come.
And I think people really liked Astral Chain last year too, which is a Switch exclusive from Platinum. I haven't played it, but everyone seems to really like it. Finally, on my short list of action games, I haven't played these, but Justin, I think you have. Would we include like Overcooked?
Oh, as action? Good question. Yeah. My family plays Overcooked together.
Yeah.
And this is it's brought out a different side of my 6-year-old, where for the first time ever, she her enjoyment out of that game is to try to troll us. And she just laughs and laughs and laughs. And she waits until we have a meal completed, then she grabs it and then drops it over the edge. And so we lose the finished meal before we can serve it. And then we yell at her and then we don't play the game anymore. Is Overcooked an action game? I don't know, man. It's a party game, is what it is.
Mm. Yeah, like Fall Guys, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about Fortnite? Or are we going to talk about shooters next?
Well, shooters, yeah.
Eventually.
That is a category we were going to talk about, and I thought maybe Fortnite would fall under that, but of course I'm no Fortnite expert myself. Well, I don't know. Out of these games, is there an action game that seems like a clear front runner to us?
Well, we gave one of those games a 10, and it was Celeste, and I didn't play it, so.
We gave two of those games a 10.
Yeah. What
Splunky
was the other
two. Splunky oh, 2, and but Mario. Also no one else played that. Again, I think Mario is an action-adventure game.
I've had Celeste sitting on my Switch unplayed for like 18 months now. And like I know, like I love Meat Boy. I know I'm going to love it. I just, you know, it's just in the backlog at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe Christmas break this year.
Everyone loves Hades this year. And some people are even have it on their Game of the Year shortlist this year. So I think maybe either Hades or Dead Cells might get a pick if people were voting on action game of the generation today.
Yeah, I can see that.
But since everyone really wants to talk about action adventure,
yes.
Sure, let's do that. And that genre, I think, would include both Red Dead 2 and Breath of the Wild and God of War, Witcher 3.
Oh, no. That's an RPG.
Yeah.
Straight up RPG. Really? Okay. I mean,
that's an action RPG.
Yeah. That's why it's a little bit tough. I think of it as an open world game.
There's definitely like, so since every single game has a skill tree, like, you know, God of War, you're getting more powerful, you're equipping equipment. So why is God of War an action adventure game? And yet Witcher 3 is an RPG. It's just like, it's how many stats are in the game. At some point it's like, you know it when you see it, and it's no longer an action adventure. It graduates to being an action RPG, I think.
Yeah.
It's definitely blurred lines between some of these, for sure.
Yeah.
That's what that song was about.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
There's a validation. I can go down my list.
Yeah, please.
From 2013. The Last of Us was this generation, right? The original Last of Us. Am I remembering?
No.
PS3.
Okay. No, it was PS3. All right, we'll take that off the list, people.
Right away.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I recall that. Okay, so then starting with, at least on my list, from 2014's Shadow of Mordor, which we already referenced.
I wanted to just comment on that real quick, because I think that's one of my favorite games of the generation. Looking back on it, I'm so fond of it. I love it. And also, it bookends two ends of the generation, which both had good licensed games, and Jedi Fallen Order was another licensed game. Like, that's unheard of, right? Last generation, we had Batman stuff, which we can talk about, and we had maybe like some entries this generation, but like those are like, it's really cool to have, you know, a licensed game that's like so good. And man, Shadow of Mordor, oh my gosh, that was so surprisingly awesome. The orcs are so funny.
Yeah, and also just kind of a groundbreaking new structure in a genre that surprised has not been emulated more often, but it was really ingenious for how they implemented it.
Do you still prefer Mordor to War?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I don't think War did enough to like really, you know, advance it, but I really enjoyed every moment of it.
And then also a licensed game, Batman Arkham Knight, came out in 2015.
Mm-hmm. That's the third one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I started skipping them after City. But
Arkham Knight gets a bad rap. Yeah, you know, Arkham Knight is, you know, maybe it's not quite as good or revelatory as, you know, City or Asylum, but those are two of the greatest games ever made. Like, do you have to settle for merely a game that's a 9.5 out of 10 and incredible and like, ooh, there's too many Batmobile sections. It's like, give me a break. Like, the combat and the stealth and the puzzles and like, you know, Arkham Knight is not my favorite in that trilogy, but upon reflection, I think that game got bagged on too much and kind of unfairly.
It had a lot to live up to, but it was the only one that came out this generation, so we must count it, obviously, just to have the reputation there.
It's still so gorgeous. Like, that game also doesn't get enough credit for what it was doing visually that early in the generation.
Yep. What else, Tina?
2016, Dishonored 2.
Mm-hmm. I had that.
That's another one of those where like Dishonored 1 would have been included, but that came out previous generation. So, you know.
The house puzzle level is just one of the coolest designed levels ever.
Yeah.
Continuing on sort of thematically, Inside 2016.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you were going to mention Inside. Yeah, I think that totally falls into this category.
Same year, Oxenfree.
Yeah, I like Oxenfree.
Yeah, I never played that one.
You still need to. Justin, you've played it, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It is a 7 out of 10 good for me.
Hmm.
You just my memory of that game is walking very slowly.
Go ahead.
I like all the dialogue. As other people have pointed out, it actually feels like teens walking around and hanging out in a way that other games just don't get it right, that just feels hokey. Super enjoyable, but it was 3 hours and it was over and I liked it. That's all I have to say about that.
It was a good playing game for me. Do you guys think that Inside is more of a role-playing game?
What?
The end.
R-O-L-L? Yeah.
Role-playing?
Pretty good. But although it sounds like Oxenfree is more of an adventure game.
Mm. That's true. It probably could have counted in its own category.
And we need
but I threw it in there because I loved it.
Let's remember that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of categories that we didn't really outline specifically, so they could just be shoved into the other places that are appropriate.
Yeah. What else?
Continuing on. You guys already mentioned Breath of the Wild. I put it in my action adventure category. That's 2017. Also Super Mario Odyssey, same year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And our reader write-in also mentioned Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, but it needed to be said again. And then personally for me, I skipped all the way to Mario Tennis Aces, which I understand is a sports game. But at the same time, we don't really have a sports, or I guess we weren't intending on this show to talk about a sports category. And I loved that game.
Wow, so I had no idea. I
have to put it there. Yeah, it was very, the moves were very specific. And once you got really trained in it, became like a really interesting, complex battle system practically. So I like that.
Wow.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah, keep going.
Red Dead 2, which we already said.
Of course.
Spider-Man on PS4.
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man. That's another licensed game that turned out great.
Yeah, we had a few of those this generation. God of War, of course. And then going into 2019, Control, Jedi Fallen Order.
Yep.
I put Katana Zero on this list. That was also 2019. Link's Awakening and Outer Wilds.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Outer Wilds.
I
never played that one.
Outer Worlds comes later.
Yeah,
Outer Wilds. God, that game is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You just glossed over some of the best games of the last decade.
Just rambled them off.
You know, we take for granted now because Spider-Man is made by Insomniac, you know, and had a big first-party backing behind it. Like, of course it was great, but, you know, Sam, like you touched on earlier, like, didn't used to be that way. Like, Spider-Man games used to be made by Activision. Actually, some of them were pretty good, too. They were not, like, these really bad licensed games. But, like, that being an incredible game, like genre-defining experience is, like, not to be taken for granted. Like, Insomniac absolutely hit a home run with that.
And it was bizarre that it was a Sony exclusive. Like, that was such a twist when they were like, oh, Spider-Man's a Sony exclusive mascot game for us now.
Yeah.
We're going to launch our new system with Spider-Man. Like, that's such a big twist in the console wars.
It's done them
they
well.
Got that it's got that Spider-Man font.
Yep.
That's true. Yeah, totally. That's true.
So, Sam, I mean, like, I it's got to be Breath of the Wild for you, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to mention that there was like series that really took off during this generation, including Tomb Raider and Assassin's Creed. And like those are things that have existed for previous generations. But like I think the best Assassin's Creed came out this generation and the best Tomb Raider did too. So I really like those series now and I'll always play them. And I think Uncharted stayed really good too. I liked Uncharted 4 a lot. Breath of the Wild. Yeah, yeah. Breath of the Wild, like I'm playing it right now. And I kept on hearing from people like, oh, it's so great to go back to and play in different ways. And so I'm really happy they updated it with Master Mode for me to go back and play. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to beat it probably this week and be ready to play all the fall games after that.
Tina, would you go with Red Dead 2, though?
Yeah, you know me.
So I'm just
kind of a no-brainer one.
I'm curious, like, why that one over Breath of the Wild?
I think it's well known, but like, I really hate the weapon breaking system and it kind of, disrupts my gameplay experience. I know that it actually adds value for other people because it's a matter of, you know, how much of your commitment you have to a certain weapon and understanding its limitations and whatever else. Maybe there's an element of realism to it, whatever. It just, to me, it feels like an encumbrance to my having fun in the game. And I love when you stumble on a favorite weapon and you just use that forever. Like that's kind of like been my Borderlands style, for instance, which I did not include on this list. But yeah, with Red Dead 2, it felt like that filled in world with a lot of interesting character dynamics and like a great story to carry you through from beginning to end. So it's just the perfect combination of stuff that I like in a game.
I would like to add that the weapon system is actually my least favorite part about Breath of the Wild, and it drives me crazy and I obsess over it. And so like right now my inventory is like, you know, a perfect selection of unbroken soldier swords because I always use the worst stuff, you know, first. And then like I save these like candy weapons, and now I have the Master Sword, which doesn't break. It just loses power for like 4 minutes, like a mobile game, which sucks even more. But then I just end up using that and I don't fight until I have it back. Like it doesn't work with my particular like collector nature in that game. So that it does drive me crazy.
I do think that was a very common complaint with Breath of the Wild. So it'll be interesting to see if they keep that for Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just tweaking the durability would go so far. Like if I had my favorite weapon for 75% of the game and then I lost it, that'd be a good story beat, right? Like that'd be kind of fun. And like I could really like manage that. But yeah, like you're in the middle of a fight all the time and it's like your weapon's about to break. It's broken.
Yeah, and the more you want to explore, the more that you're potentially also in combat. So it's like, are you getting penalized for exploring, essentially? And I think like if there's a pacing out of, all right, you know, your weapon breaks at a point of time, but you happen to hit a part of the single player campaign where you can actually find an even better weapon, then the trade off at least makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Red Dead's equivalent is the looting system being so cumbersome too, and slow, and that's kind of inhibiting to the experience as well.
Yeah.
All those little realism elements. I think that was the common complaint about.
Yeah, you're meaning like the drawer opening stuff. Where
It takes so long, and then you know the first few times you loot a body, and you're like, this is really cool and detailed animation. Yeah, and you're like ruffling through their pockets, but then afterwards you're like, all right, I get the point. Like you know how to do animation well. Let's move on.
Yeah. Red Dead's probably it's might be the best story I've ever experienced in a game for sure.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Red Dead 2. Yeah. And then, Sam, you said we got the best Tomb Raider this generation. I assume you're referring to Rise of the Tomb Raider?
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Well, you know what? Shadow. I kind of go back and forth. I think the first Tomb Raider maybe is my favorite now that I think about it. But I like the recent. I like the recent two a lot.
Yeah, I like.
One was last gen.
Yeah, of course. That's why I can't include it. But and then, as I mentioned, I think Assassin's Creed has only gotten better, which is really cool. That was unexpected, adding RPG stuff to it. The best beaches I've ever seen in a game were in Odyssey.
Yeah, man. Odyssey is an absolutely beautiful game.
Yeah.
Justin, anything on your end that you think we're missing?
My game of the generation and one of my favorite games of all time is Zelda. And, you know, I don't know. We need to relitigate the weapon breaking system, except to say that I disagree vehemently. I don't like it, but it's there for a purpose. Like you would cheese the whole 60-hour game if, you know, the player would be their own worst enemy. They'd find some cheesy laser sword and then they would just use that. And like that defeats the purpose.
You could go get like a good weapon. Yeah, they'd have to control that system, right?
But the one we haven't really talked about, you know, yet is God of War, which it's unbelievable to me. And that's another game that, like, dude, like, it didn't have to be this way, like Spider-Man. Like, you know, it's reinventing this old franchise that was like, you know, they never got bad, but like they were getting kind of tired, right? And like redefining, like, they were so smart about, like, do God of War games have to have a fixed camera angle? You know, do they have to have the Blades of Chaos? Like, does the camera, you know, or can the camera be behind the back? Like the brave, the, what's the word I'm looking for? Bravery?
Courage? Like,
courage. There it is. Courage. The courage that they had to, like, drop away or just get rid of, like, no. Like, God of War doesn't need to be that. Like, this is really the core of what's important to this franchise. And then layering on top of it an actual meaningful story with Pathos, a father and son story. It's so incredible. And I am absolutely going to replay that game on my PS5 before Ragnarok comes out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's also, that game's also, like, big. Like, it just goes on for a long time and has a lot of different areas. And it was way more game than I expected.
Yeah. Really opens up. Really opens up, has a lot of exploration. You know,
And it was more puzzly than I expected. What a game.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite PS4 game of the generation.
Like, exclusive, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. But there's, you know, even this year, there's a couple this year, like Last of Us Part 2 and Ghosts of Tsushima. Yeah. Like, those are both also really good. I've heard a lot of people say that I know Last of Us Part 2 was a little controversial, but I've also heard a lot of people say it's, you know, the best game they've played this generation. Mm-hmm. And then Tsushima is easily one of the best open world games I played this generation. There's maybe a couple things, we're not really the show to speak to these sorts of things, but Bloodborne, Dark Souls 3, you know, obviously those are
fan favorites. That's like a genre that is this generation. Like, yeah, there was a Demon Souls on PS3, but like, man, like the Dark Souls likes blew up this generation. Like, I'll always associate the PS4 with everything Bloodborne, Dark Souls, and of course the other ninja stuff like Nioh and stuff like that. Like,
what? Sekiro.
And I'm familiar with those games from strategy guides more than anything. Like, people really, those are hard games, and like, people really need help with them. And so that was like a really fun thing to everywhere everybody was having discussions about how difficult these games were. Like, I think that's a really healthy part of the industry to still have really hard games.
Yeah. Nier Automata would probably be in there too, although that's not another one that I haven't played.
Yeah.
I'd call it an RPG.
You think that one's more of an RPG?
That's the category I would put it in.
I'm just going by the box. We didn't. Yeah.
It wouldn't. It doesn't quite make my game of the generation list, but you know, Horizon Zero Dawn has got to be up there.
Yeah, I thought about that one, and I enjoyed that game a lot. But like, there's no way I like it, you know, as much as Breath of the Wild or even Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Tsushima. For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one I got like halfway through it and then, you know, fell off. And then I saw some of the end game stuff and some of the DLC stuff and got jealous that I never got to that portion of the game. I was like, ooh, that does look really good.
Yeah. A couple of mentions. There's Hollow Knight. I know it was super popular. You know, it's supposed to be one of the favorite Metroidvania games of the generation. Although the art style doesn't really do it for me. So I actually haven't played that one. Although it's on PS Plus this month, so I have no excuse.
I can't believe I forgot about Hollow Knight. Man, yeah, you're going to love it. Play it, Damon. Oh, man, you got to play it and let me know what you think.
It has that kind of like Castle Crashers look. You don't like that kind of style? Is that what you don't like?
Yeah, although I like Castle Crashers more than Hollow Knight's art style. I mean, you know me. You know I would much rather have like a pixel art.
Yeah, I hear you.
But speaking of Metroidvanias, there's Ori 1 and 2 also. Mm-hmm. And then I would throw in, you know, I do think it's up there. I think SteamWorld Dig 2.
Yeah, me too.
It's definitely one of the best Metroidvanias I've played of the generation. I don't know. Yeah, I do think that it would come down to Breath of the Wild, Red Dead 2, Frontrunner. Oh, Sam, we didn't even mention Metal Gear Solid 5.
I know.
That's like a game that we like a lot.
Yeah. I kind of want to play that game again. I wish it was in Switch. Are we ready for me to inform you guys about what we rated as the worst games of the generation for the action adventure category? Because I had our games database team pull them for us.
Oh, wow. Yes. Please. Yes.
And we know these games, too, because, you know, we review games that we think are relevant, right? We don't just review everything. So I was going down this list and I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, okay. So because this category is combined, we have some actions and some action adventures and some action platformers in here. All right. Some of them I don't know. Some of them I do. First of all, we got Double Dragon 4. Give that 3.5.
Bad.
Did you read that, Damon?
No, but I played it on a live stream. It's bad.
All right. We gave a game called Waking a 2.
Waking?
Waking. I don't know about that one. Waking. We gave Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bad. We gave Decay of Logos, which I remember that coming out, which is an action-adventure game, a 4.5. And then there's a few others here, but I'll skip to the chase. We gave Godzilla a
4.5. Oh, yeah.
What
it
was
really bad. It was really bad. It was a PS4 exclusive.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that. And there's also a funny one here. There's just a Legend of Korra game we gave a 4.2 to. Hmm. Whoops.
I think that was Platinum. Ooh, I hope I'm not wrong about that. But there's like these two Platinums, right? Like the one that makes the really, really incredible action games and the other Platinum that it's like...
The TMNT and stuff like that.
I'm gonna look that up now, but let me double check.
Do you guys remember Devil's Third?
Yeah. Oh, it's the former like Dead or Alive guy. Itagaki? Yeah. Itagaki,
we gave that a 3.5.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, and then Legend of Korra was Platinum.
I know we're not gonna go into full adventures, but we gave an Adventure Time game, The Dungeon Because I Don't Know, 3.5. And we gave Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded a 4.1. So there you go.
They're still making new Leisure Suit Larry games.
I know. Anyway, I'll check back in you guys for future categories. Okay. There's some funny ones in here.
We mentioned for our adventure category, maybe Goose Game, The Witness, although, you know, it could also be a puzzle game. I don't know if there's enough games to have a puzzle category. But there's also Return of the Obra Dinn, which I actually haven't played.
Yeah, Obra Dinn's so good. Yeah. I forgot about that game.
Yeah.
Puzzle game we liked briefly in the office, this game where it was about where you'd stack up Tetris blocks, but then they could fall over.
Yeah.
It was like on towers. And then there's the Voltron game also, which Tina and I played a little bit of, which was really fun. Which is really
a Voltron game?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, really? Like Voltron? A licensed game?
Licensed game. But didn't you play it? So you have like different cubes with different abilities and you stack them to kind of, it's like a tower defense crossover kind of title.
I think it was one of the games that we lured you over to our desk to play and we kept putting a controller in your hand, but you just like couldn't focus.
I felt like it was a Danny game though.
I have no memory of that. I remember playing that game, the platformer from
the Castle Crash.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Tina, what's the name of that game? Battle Block Theater?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Which is the hardest 20 questions we've ever had.
If we're like shoving puzzle games into this category, we got to talk about Tetris Effect, which is like a purely emotional like game to brain connection that's like just unbelievable. It's like if Lumines took the like just sort of block puzzle game crown from Tetris Effect or from Tetris, then Tetris Effect took it back for the next generation for sure.
Oh, we forgot a game for the action category. It probably would be the front runner, and that's Ding Dong XL.
Yep, sure.
Never heard of that game.
Put that on the short list.
We're running a little bit long on time. I figured I knew this could easily eat up a whole episode. In the strategy and tactics category, you'd have stuff like Civilization VI. But then, Justin, I wonder if this is the place that something like Hearthstone goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about Into the Breach?
Into the Breach. I loved Slay the Spire. I would go in there. And I think even something like Superhot would go into that category.
Interesting. Yeah.
Superhot.
Basically a turn-based shooter. I love Superhot. Yeah, Superhot VR is a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. Into the Breach is great. And I think Mario plus Rabbids. would fall into that category.
That was a really fun game.
And then I guess RPG would include The Witcher 3. And then Justin, would you agree two Final Fantasies could be in this category?
No, I wouldn't. I love 15. I love it. Yeah. But I recognize it as not it's, I'm in too much of a minority opinion to like even try to make a case for it. But you got to talk about, I would say Final Fantasy 14, certainly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God, that's this gen?
Well, you know, it's an MMO. It's yeah, a live
it's
game.
It's kind of ongoing.
So yeah. Hard to say.
But
wait, what was the other one you were talking about?
Seven Remake.
Oh, no.
Final Fantasy 7 Remake.
No, I don't think so.
Hmm. I do. I think that might be the best JRPG of the generation.
Oh, no, Persona came out this generation.
What about Persona 5?
You guys know I don't like Persona. I think it's fucking creepy.
Yeah, but it is super popular.
Yeah, it's really popular. Yeah.
There's a Divinity. There's two Divinity Original Sin games we got this generation.
Wow.
And I can't wait. Like, I wish those were on a system I could play.
Well,
I know they've been ported to
Switch. They're on Switch.
Oh yeah, I was saying that because I didn't know if the second one had been ported yet, but it is now.
Well, the first one is at least. I don't know if the second one is on Switch yet, but
I wanted to mention that I think most people on our staff and then out there would be surprised or very, very not surprised for me to say this, but I think Undertale might be remembered as the most important RPG of this generation. It was like the biggest culturally impactful. Weird indie RPG that came out of nowhere. It's just, it's huge with kids. Like, it's so big. It just went everywhere. The music, the characters, like, it's just so popular.
I haven't played it myself. I remember it being popular in certain circles when it came out, but I don't have insight into any sort of like cultural impact that it had.
It's crazy.
Well, it's definitely become this sort of memeable game that has a life outside of the gameplay experience. But I did play it, and I played it when it was new, before that sort of cult of personality had built up around it. And like, it stands on its own two legs. It's like, you don't need to engage. You don't need to, exactly. It's super fun. And the battle system is like really innovative and surprising. And the writing is so referential and like spot on. You know, sometimes I think the community around the game kind of does it a disservice, where like, it's taken on a life of its own, where like, if you just download that, install it, and play it as a video game, it's just excellent and deserving of all the praise it gets.
Yeah. And then I was going to call out Pokemon had huge hits this generation that I liked. I'm trying to think of which one I liked the best. I think I think it was Sun Moon that was set in Hawaii, which is really cool. It had like Alola, which is like a Hawaii, and it was really, really cool. I liked that. And then it was pretty good. But then where do I fit in Stardew Valley?
Because I was going to ask about that. I was going
to
ask.
You're role playing, right? But it's a kind of a strategy role playing game. Like, I love that game. And then you have to ask where Animal Crossing goes. But I think Stardew is like one of my favorite games I've played in a decade. I love that game.
It's just chillax games.
But there's also some dungeon crawling in Stardew Valley, which is why I thought maybe action adventure. Mm-hmm. For that game, I don't know.
I mean, they're simulation games is the answer for Stardew and Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
There's a couple other JRPGs worth mentioning. I think Octopath Traveler turned out really well. It certainly has a very, very cool art style, and I liked the mechanic of the eight different
a quarter as long as it is.
Yeah, well, it
quarter
is a very
that I played. I love
so Quadrupath Traveler.
Yes.
Or maybe
Duopath. Duopath.
Yeah.
I know people love Dragon Quest XI, although I haven't played it myself.
Yeah, I forgot about that too.
If I had two lives to live, I would just have a parallel life where I played that Dragon Quest game. I don't have the 80 hours. I wish I did. I'm sure it's lovely.
Dragon Quest somehow manages, they pull a magic trick on everybody where they come out infrequently enough that they can just keep releasing the same game. Enough time has passed and everybody loves it, including me.
Yep, same.
It doesn't do anything new at all, but it just executes on that classic vision to such a high degree of precision and excellence that like nobody cares. They're able to get away with it. Like, by the time the next one comes out, like, everyone's gonna be like, yeah, okay, I'll murder some slimes again.
And then finally for RPGs, Justin, would you include Pillars of Eternity?
Yeah, two of those games too. Well, to my shame, I never got around to two. I loved one, and two, its reputation is it's one of those games that builds on and improves on one, but is much less popular than one. And so then it becomes a little bit hard to speak to, but I didn't get around to it myself.
All right, I'll quickly read the worst RPGs, and you guys just let me know if you recognize any of these, because I don't recognize any of them, okay?
Wait, did we say Outer Worlds? Did we mention
that? Oh, yeah, you were waiting on Outer Worlds. Sorry, Tina, go for it.
Oh, no, that's it. I just wanted to make sure we covered our bases there. I like that game surprisingly more than I was expecting to.
Yeah, I came pretty close to beating it, but then I dropped it, which I felt bad about. But I really did like it. The AI ship computer is a great character.
I really liked Outer Worlds, but actually, in contrast to Octopath Traveler, I wish Outer Worlds was quite a bit longer. I could have used a lot more time in that game. And
we had Fallout, right? That came out this generation.
There's Fallout 4, but I don't know.
Just stick with me.
I think the audience has kind of been split in Fallout.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We also, it's not a JRPG, but IGN Game of the Year, Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Forgot about
that game is really good, and I don't understand, like, people have kind of turned on it, and, like, the popular consensus is, like, Witcher 3 has sort of, like, eclipsed it, but I don't know. I have nothing bad to say about Inquisition. I think the hate that game gets is completely unjustified and unfair.
It's a lot of game. It's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, the dialogue's great.
Yeah, and then, of course, Mass Effect skipped this generation in the sense that the only game that came out this generation is bad, which is so sad. So what's going to happen to Mass Effect? I have a quick rant here, too. Halo and Mass Effect don't have good games this generation. That's crazy. They have games, but they don't have, like, this, like, I look forward to every Halo so much. I'm so excited for the next Halo each time. And, like, man, 5 was just not that fun. It's really disappointing.
Well, when Infinite finally arrives, it will still be this gen.
I know. Yeah. I know. Okay, here's the RPGs. You ready? We got Legends of Dawn. Got 2.8.
Nope.
Natural Doctrine, 2.8.
I remember hearing that name, but I don't know what it is.
I don't either. Underworld Ascendant, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the movies, Underworld?
Oh, maybe.
No, the dungeon crawling RPG, I think it was kickstarted, you know, like a revival of the classic games.
City of Brass, give that a 4. And then finally, Left Alive, 3.8.
Oh, that's the Square Enix one, right?
What is it?
Is that the one I'm thinking of? Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong game.
I don't know. It makes me think of Disaster Day of Crisis. Remember that Switch game that never came out? Or, I mean, the Wii game that never came out here? Anyway, those are the worst RPGs we scored. So if you played any of those, let us know what you thought.
You know, we're not really the group to speak to fighting games. There's Smash Brothers, and I know, like, I actually really liked what I played of Mortal Kombat 11. And I think people like Tekken 7, but, you know. I don't know how deep we can really get into a fighting game discussion. Yeah. So let's go straight to shooter, which, you know, you've got Overwatch, you've got Fortnite, Titanfall 2 in there. There's Wolfenstein 2 is the one from this generation. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this before and we didn't say that hero shooters started this generation, but boy, they took off. And so did Battle Royale. So, like, those are, like, you know, the themes of this generation, too.
Actually, count. Of Halo, the Master Chief Collection. That's a good Halo package of games.
That's a really good package of games.
Yeah. It's a technicality, but, you know, we'll take it.
Yeah,
I mean, like, dollar for dollar, it's the greatest, like, single collection of video games in one, whatever, distinct package, if you want to call it that, for my money.
With this generation, people really factioned off with shooters. You know, you play Fortnite or you play PUBG in one era. You play Destiny or you play Call of Duty. You know, the things have gotten really, really factional, and, like, a lot of people don't cross over through those games. They just kind of stick with them. And that's where games of service started and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of, like, clamped down on, like, the kind of creative, you know, cerebral shooter, as they used to call the Half-Life era games and stuff like that. We still have Wolfenstein, but, like, I can't think of many other games that are like that. It's like tell a story and be a good shooter. Doom.
Titanfall 2.
Prey is a really good point. I kept on seeing that in lists, and I only played a little bit of Prey, but that's a really good example. Because that's that Bioshock, like, thinking shooter, right?
Yeah, a little bit, with some, like, Dead Spacey vibes to it. That's I didn't like it by the end. It felt like a cheap ending, but otherwise I liked a lot of the world and story building.
What happens in the end?
Well, it's a 2017 game. We're not on the, we're not at that juncture yet.
Oh, man.
You know, you mentioned Overwatch at the start. Like, I played that game every single night for months. And that's probably the last multiplayer game that, like, that I did that with, and, like, that feeling of it managed to suck me back in, you know, in a Halo like way where, like, that just becomes your routine. Like, the kids go to bed now, like, boot up Overwatch. Like, and like just the, as you said, Team Fortress 2 is really the game that popularized character classes, but the democratization of like the shooter, where like whatever kind of role you want to play and whatever your skill cap is, like there's a role that you can contribute to your team in a meaningful way, and switch it around to keep it fresh. Like it's incredible. And it's easy to kind of forget that because the game has been around quite a while now. And like, you know, I'm not playing Overwatch anymore, but like the time that I spent with it was like such fond memories.
And then I guess Half-Life Alyx would probably go in this category. Although, you know,
yeah, I want to play it.
Yeah. None of us have gotten a chance to play it, but hear only incredible things about that game.
Yep.
So really quick, I'd want to know like what you think you're like, your personal game of the generation would be as of right now. And Sam, I assume you would say Breath of the Wild.
I already said it was Yoku's Island Express.
and Tina, do you think Red Dead 2 is your overall personal game of the generation at this point?
I think so. Witcher 3 is a big contender too. But I think Red Dead beats it out for me.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Justin, how about you?
Mine is Breath of the Wild, but I don't think Switch games count. We're only talking about this because the PS4 and Xbox have successors coming out and Nintendo doesn't. So yeah, I think that they're slipping in here on a technicality. Yeah, in this time frame, Breath of the Wild is the most incredible game I've played. Out of those two console libraries, it would be God of War for me.
Yep. Yeah, and if I had to go with PS4, Xbox, I'd go with Red Dead for sure.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely, you know, Breath of the Wild for me, God of War on PS4, but then Hearthstone, man, 6 years now, 6 years of playing that game every single day of my life. So that's
Is that the one with the magical cards?
Yep, the magical cards. Yeah, it's really good. A question to you all. Was this generation of gaming better than the last?
No.
Explain.
There were two Batmans last generation.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. It's just math. It's math. There are Mass Effect 2, Portal 2. Those will always be some of my favorite games of all time. Red Dead 1. Like the GTAs were good for some people that generation. Skyrim. I mean, those are all from the last generation. BioShock games, all that stuff.
Yeah,
just better games.
Yeah, there are a million exceptions. There are a million exceptions that sort of prove the rule. Games that came out this generation that really did, you know, evolve and press the medium of video games forward. You know, games like Undertale and Outer Wilds and The Witness and sort of challenge people's idea about what a game can be or what a AAA game can be. But generally speaking, you know, Breath of the Wild, I'd put in that category too. But speaking broadly, I think this generation was just kind of a continuation of last generation. You know, we're on the sixth Gears of War game now, and you know, a rebooted God of War, and games feel more conventional and safe now than I think that they did last gen. And again, there are a lot of exceptions to that. I'm just sort of painting with a broad brush right now. If you were to look at like the best of lists for each console, I think that they're less varied than they used to be.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I think volume-wise, last generation for sure, because you do have like the Mass Effects and the Halos that were better that generation that we just kind of skipped over. And I think Dragon Age was better last gen also.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like,
I think Sam, Uncharted, which is really cool. I mean, three Uncharted games in the last generation were great.
And Last of Us 1 was better than 2, so.
What?
And, oh, yeah. You know, you have.
Yeah, sorry. You're right.
You thought she said Uncharted?
Yeah, I thought she said Uncharted.
It takes forever. Just making a video game, a AAA game, is so hard now that they hardly come out anymore. And like, you know, we're still waiting on an Elder Scrolls game, and we're gonna be for another decade. Like, feels bad.
It is crazy, and I know that, you know, a lot of, you know, I had 53 games that I at least wanted to mention, and of course, it's very reflective of my taste. Think of how many of them were like smaller indie games, you know, because there's so many more of those now, because just as Justin said,
but the last generation had your Commando Rearmed and Braid and Geometry Wars and Pac-Man CE.
That is when that started, but now it's exploded, and there's just so much, you know, there's so many more of those coming out all the time, while there are fewer big AAA games coming out all the time.
So if you're into shooters and social playing, this is the best time to live ever, though. That's not even comparable to last generation. Yeah. And then if you like Nintendo, the last two generations of Nintendo, including Wii U, sucked. The Wii and the Wii U suck. I totally agree. In the systems, but it was terrible being a Nintendo fan in that time. As soon as we got a year with Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey, I was like, oh yeah, this is the Nintendo I know.
I couldn't agree more.
It's been so much better.
Yep. I was going to point that out.
Thanks to the rise of digital distribution, and you know, Steam was around last gen, but like has only become more dominant in PC gaming and has only experienced more of a resurgence since. Like games like Factorio, which I think I'm 100 hours into, like could not have existed before. Like they can only exist and thrive in the context of like gaming in 2020 or contemporary gaming. So, you know, there's so many bright spots, especially if you have weird esoteric taste, like I kind of do. Like, there's a lot of AAA games where I'm just like, I'm not that interested in this, but like, there is something crazy and cool and exciting to play every single week now. Like, if you only like roguelike card games, you know, there's 10 of them now every year. And
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And whatever you're into, there's something out there for you now. So, you know, when I talk about maybe overall this generation, I'm not quite as impressed as last. I'm mainly talking about sort of mainstream game lineups.
Okay, now that we've officially determined game of the generation, last week Tina was telling us she was playing Watch Dogs Legion. Have you continued playing it, Tina?
I have not. I swapped over to Miles Morales.
Okay. We'll talk about Miles Morales in just a second. I just want to say I have also been playing Watch Dogs Legion, and I don't like it. I'm not even going to continue on with it. I think it's an ugly game, especially because, you know, it's a AAA game from Ubisoft coming out at the tail end of a generation where 2 years ago they gave us Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which was absolutely breathtaking. I think Legion is ugly. I think all the characters in it are ugly. Just whoever their like art director was for that game, man, I'm not into their style. And I think all the characters are really annoying as well. And like you get people saying, I finished a mission, and when I got back to like our headquarters, one of my, you know, fellow DedSec members said, "That's Brill." Like they shortened brilliant, and I cringe. I can't remember a time I cringed harder than that. I also just don't care about the whole premise. This rebel organization that's going to help the people of London rise up against this evil corporation. But then when we get in a car to drive to our next mission, we're going to run over literally 10 people on our way there, and there are no repercussions. Anyway, Watch Dogs Legion, not a Damien game.
Confirmed. Well, if you run over people and there's cops around in typical, you know, open world fashion, they'll come for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to hear more about games Damon doesn't like. That was great.
I was surprised. It was an issue I had with Watch Dogs 2 as well. There's like it's too ridiculous to say like I'm just a normal person capable of mass murder. You know, like you recruit someone to your team and they're like a school teacher and like they're instantly ready to infiltrate a base and just mow down anyone that comes in their way. It's like it doesn't work.
Yeah, I assume there was like a story explanation coming around that. Like there's some sort of in your brain code that gets unlocked. Yeah, exactly.
It's also, you have to perform a side quest to recruit everyone. And I feel like that's something Ubisoft wasn't transparent about this whole time. They were like, you can play as any NPC.
Oh.
If you complete a side quest first.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. But Tina, how is Spider-Man Miles Morales?
I loved it. It was, I actually finished it. It's a pretty short game, as you can expect, just given the whole weirdness around, is it a standalone, is it an expansion or whatever else. It is technically a standalone, but it is a pretty short experience, which to a degree I actually really love, because you can finish it in like a day, depending on how much actual investment you put into it. But it's more Spider-Man, but with different characters. And Miles Morales himself is like super charming and has that kind of Peter Parker vibe to him, where he's like a huge nerd and he says kind of like teenagery dorky things in response to when he's saving people and whatnot. It's very charming and enjoyable. It was a good way to spend election day.
Do his superpowers feel like they're different than Spider-Man's superpowers? Like, does it feel like similar enough, but also like it's its own thing to play?
Oh, it's very different. And then the way you incorporate it in combat too is like certain enemies are more susceptible to it. So it's kind of like elemental damage, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Which is a fairly, you know, universally translatable feature.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's a the costumes are amazing, and I was actually really motivated to unlock every single one of them. And it's not my favorite, but once you get offered the Bodega Cat suit, like, obviously you can only wear that anymore. Because, obviously. Yeah, like, you swing around, and this cat just comes out and, like, licks its face occasionally. Amazing. You're flipping around, the cat's just, like, stretching out. It's very cute.
So did you beat it in one day?
I beat it in, like, a day and a half.
I
did a lot. Yeah, you definitely could have, because I wanted to spend time doing some side quests, and you have an app where you can pull up the citizens request your assistance, so you can pull up your app and check locations for side quests. And the collectibles are really easy to get through, as are some of the combat upgrades and whatnot when you go through those challenges. And they also award you activity points, which you can use on your suit. And your gadgets and upgrading that stuff. So it's definitely good about motivating you to do all of its gameplay features. I did not love the end barrage of fights leading up to a boss battle. And obviously I won't say more than that, but I personally felt like it was a little infuriating.
That sounds like the end of Final Fantasy VII.
That's true. It's one of those classic, like, throw the kitchen sink at you deals. Yeah. And that's kind of how you interpret challenge in a game.
And Sam, you said you played a demo of something?
Yeah, I played the Hyrule Warriors demo. Speaking of throwing lots of enemies at you, that's that entire game.
You broke up a little there for me. You're doing the Hyrule Warriors. What is it? Curse? What is it?
It's called Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity.
Age of Calamity, sorry.
Yeah, so it's set in the Breath of the Wild universe, and it's 100 years before, and so you actually dip right in the demo. It starts from the beginning, and you're like, you know, Zelda and Link and everybody are their normal, you know, selves, and that the team that you assemble in ghost form in Breath of the Wild is, like, alive. And so you're like, talking to them and stuff like that. But it's really good. I didn't like it at first because it remaps all of your controls from Breath of the Wild to, like, you know, whatever Musou series controls, which is so stupid because you're doing the same things. You're, like, throwing bombs, and that's not me crying, by the way. That's somebody else. It's like, so that was frustrating, even because you're playing as Link, and I'm playing Breath of the Wild right now. So I'm like, everything's the same and all the controls are different, but, you know, you get used to it. And, like, those games are really silly. They're like, go here and kill a bunch of enemies and just build up your meters for, like, five different special attacks. Like, that's it. But this has a little bit of crafting and collecting, and you're, like, working on weapons between levels and stuff like that. And then there's just the charm of Zelda over it. It's beautiful cel-shaded look. It looks, like, super polished. You know, all those designs are in there. And then it takes place in, like, areas of Hyrule, which are, like, geographically, you know, interesting to look at because it's not ruined yet. Like, everything's like a little village or whatever where you saw ruins before. So, like, you know, as somebody who, like, Breath of the Wild is my favorite game ever now. Like, it's just like digging into the lore of it. And I was actually talking to Tina about this earlier. Like, I would, for the games I like the best, like, I'll play a spinoff of those games just to, like, see more of them in any way. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, it's fine. You know, like, this game, this by nature of it being a spinoff, like, I went through a 4-player terrible Metroid Prime game because I love Metroid Prime. I just, like, I played the whole game by myself, 4-player, which Federation is, like, the Force. Dumbest thing. Federation Force. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I'll do it. And, like, but this is not like that so far. It's been really fun, and I can't wait to play more.
There's one more thing I need to say about Miles Morales.
Yes.
And it's a small detail, but it's kind of infuriating. Like, you get on a computer and hack often, and he'll be sitting there typing for you. He's like, oh, I can't get in. Oh, no, what's this? And you, like, they're showing you the screen, and it's literally one static image the whole time. And as he's typing furiously, there's, like, no text box, no change in anything. So there's one scene where they actually do, like, one more major cutscene where they actually animate that screen. But otherwise, it's just a static image. And it's kind of like, do you guys know this is happening?
They're going to patch that in. That's the day one patch.
Yeah. Could be.
Justin, I know you've been a little busy.
Yeah, I did play. I played through Pikmin 3. And loved it. You know, I'm mad at Nintendo for charging $60 for that game. I think it's bullshit, but, you know, I wanted to have it on my Switch, and that was the choice that I made as a consumer, was to rebuy it.
Did you guys buy it?
No, I didn't, and I should have. And that game is so good. You know, it takes the best parts of Pikmin 1 and 2, just so charming and clever, and there's nothing else like it on the market. But that's my complaint. It's like, I played through that game on the Wii U. and I did not remember it being this short. That game's like 3.5 hours long, and I'm not even exaggerating. Like I don't remember that either. I beat it in 16 days, and the days are 14 minutes long. So yeah, 3-4 hours. Huh. I wasn't trying to speedrun it and just sort of doing my thing. And so that was disappointing, and that the price makes that kind of doubly disappointing. But I still have the DLC to go through and the other missions to go through. And it's a great little just appetizer for just the deluge of amazing AAA games we're about to get.
Yep. I'm going to start my playthrough of one of those amazing AAA games, hopefully amazing AAA games, this evening.
Really? And that- Lucky.
And that brings us to video game 20 questions, the final video game 20 questions of this generation. Our suggestion this week comes from Allison, who says, in all honesty, I'm not a gamer, but I listen alongside my boyfriend whenever we're in the car and he gets so excited for the 20 questions segment.
Oh,
great.
So
thanks. Do we have the boyfriend's name?
No. Mr. Allison.
Thanks for that.
Questioning begin.
Is we this can't from this- use our cheat.
Why not?
Because we listed so many games.
But it's perfect. But we can just say, is this from this generation?
Yeah, that was going to be my first question, too. Go for it.
Yeah.
Is this from this generation? No.
Damon.
Oh.
Well, now we know not to use the cheat, right? Not for a little bit, at least.
I don't think I've ever been more disappointed by an answer to one of Damon's questions.
But to be fair, Damon, no, he did select it. Never mind. He gets to see the inbox. He has control.
Yes. Is it from the previous generation?
Is it from the 360 PS3?
Yeah.
No.
You do the math in your head. Is it from the previous generation?
No.
Ooh. Oh.
Okay. Is this from before 1990?
Yes.
Okay.
Did this game, was this game originally released on the NES?
No. That's 5.
Was this an arcade game?
Yes.
Ooh. Was this game ported to the NES?
Yes.
Okay, I feel bad for phrasing it the way I did now, but we got there.
Did this game use a joystick to control it?
No.
Marble Madness?
No, almost no Atari games use joysticks except for Dig Dug, so.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about arcade cabinets.
Joysticks were not as popular as they seem to be these days. That's why people can't make multi-cabinets. They're like, well, I can't put Centipede or Missile Command or, you know, Star Wars or Tron in my cabinet. Is this a, what did you ask?
Oh, if it's a licensed game.
Is this a licensed game? No.
Is this from before the arcade crash in 1983?
No. That's 10.
Whoa. Late 80s game or mid 80s game.
But not a joystick game.
Hmm.
Aren't we gonna get there if we know the control input method?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Paperboy, but we can keep going here.
I was gonna ask if it was they had light gun games by then, right? Like early shooting games, shooting gallery games.
Not that got ported to NES.
Oh, good point.
Did we attend a lecture on this game? Could have been
that. Yeah, it's good. Has this been a GDC? What is it called? Yeah, a GDC lecture.
Yes.
Well, what?
Wait, what did you answer? My question or Sam's question?
No, your question, Tina.
You asked a separate question, which is incredibly wide. Hmm. The GDC, I'm sure, has hosted lots of retro panels. So which one were you answering, Damon?
Can you repeat the questions?
Mine was, did we attend a panel on this game together?
And Sam's was?
Did GDC host a panel about this game?
The answer to both questions probably. The answer to both questions is yes.
Okay, so then it's Paperboy.
Yeah, go for it, Tina.
What's your game?
Is it Paperboy?
Yes, it is Paperboy.
Nice. You know, from that lecture, we saw they did a cool thing where they laid out the whole street for Paperboy in pieces of paper that were like drawn out and designed in this quad, like in Atari's like office complex outside during the day. And they had pictures of it and they just kind of pieced the streets together that way. The house of the bike, the house of the Grim Reaper, the house of the gravestone.
the gravestones. I loved Paperboy on the NES growing up. There's the construction site you drive through, and then the weird, it just gets so weird at the end. It makes no sense.
There's like a BMX course at the end of each level. It's really fun.
Going through the hoops.
Yeah, it hit arcades in 85, but I think a lot of people played it on NES, and it was ported to just everything at the time.
Mm-hmm. And the arcade game has an actual bike handlebar set with the rubber handlebars that have like the little ridges on them. You can like scratch. I don't know if you guys remember those, but they're just like a perfect handlebar set. And you just control it like that. It's good music. Medium res model. Cool. Fun game. Atari.
I wonder what they could do with that today. A new Paperboy.
Yeah, there's a Paperboy 2 that was on all the consoles, and it was I played it on Super Nintendo, and like, you know, it was like totally fun and just had like a different set of silly houses to go by.
Well, thank you for the suggestion, Allison. Viewers, listeners, if you have your own 20 question suggestions, send them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. I've just been delivered a delicious looking plate of apples and peanut butter. Ooh. That I'm going to enjoy as a little post scoop.
Are you sure that's not for Kingo?
Yeah.
Kingo's not even here. He's at the playground.
Oh, wow.
Lucky him.
For me.
Dad snack.
Dad snack.
Snack scoop.
When next we meet, it will be a new generation of consoles. So everyone who pre-ordered an Xbox Series or a PS5, I hope they arrive to you safely next week. And there will be a lot to talk about next week. But that's going to do it for us. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you to Tina. Thank you to Justin, Sam. Thank you to Borba working behind the scenes. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Let me tell you how I get to work. I get into my car, drive it out to Arlington. Don't even think about it anymore. Sit in traffic with the other jerks, take exit 44, drive a half mile underground, and then I go to work. Grant a month-long fellowship. That was 1999. Now I run the fucking ship. In my office there's a picture of the president and me. He's smiling for the camera, but only with his teeth. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference. They said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you. I'll never make a sound. Behind the sticks, just lighting up the map. Started double boxing it, so they sent me to Iraq. They put me up in the Sultan Suite at the Palestine Hotel. Got some fiber and an N15, and I started raining hell. Two Marines outside the door and another on the roof. I never left the building. But it sure beat the commute. By the time they shipped me home, I wasn't sleeping anymore. Got some pills from the Langley boys, and I started seeing stars. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference. They said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you. I'll never make a sound. Last night I had a dream about you, same as all the rest. Everything in black and white except your summer dress. I don't
out on a field of static moving down below. You're smiling for the camera, but I have to let you go.
I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference. They said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you. I'll never make a sound.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.